God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me, a sinner. Help us glorify you today by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're on step four, and I hope you have big books too, because I'm going to look at some of the stuff in the big book with this. This section in the steps we took on step four, it's titled "Identifying What Blocks Us from God," and it's a general look at why we're doing the step four and what's involved in the step four. And AA only has one set of step four instructions there on pages 63 to the end of the chapter, 71. There are four steps that you can get on the internet, and I know David and others have gotten some from speakers and worked handouts, and that's great. I don't have an opinion on that. The only thing I know is that the steps in the book are very, on step four, are simple, and they've helped me and they've saved my life, and I use them every day. And it's laid out in a specific way. And then I think that once you've done that and you go on and do other inventories, it might give you even more insight. The one thing I've noticed when people come back from treatment nowadays, and I'm not putting that down either, they've done their four step, whatever that is, and so I'll sit down with them and ask them, well, what did you learn? What did you learn? And there's kind of sometimes a blank stare. And the purpose of the four step is not to get a grade or to get approval. It's the idea of getting a set of spiritual tools that I'll use the rest of my life. And we get this cool toolkit. It says we pick up this kit of spiritual tools that are laid on our feet, and we get part of heaven. Now, I can't get the benefits if I don't use the toolkits, and I can't use the toolkit if I don't know what it is. And so he says, although the inventory is sometimes confusing to people, and he talks about Bill as the author of the book, but we know from studying the book that it was authored by quite a few people, and it took all of its basic premises from the Oxford group. They have a brilliantly simple process in the big book. He explains how the things that blocked us from God are manifested themselves in three major ways. Only three things we look at in step four: my resentment, my fears, and my harms done to others. And then we inventory and analyze these things. And more importantly, and it's not emphasized here, and it wasn't really emphasized when I listened to Joe and Charlie, and they do their big book study, but what I really got from the pages 63 to 71 was I have tools to be free of anger at any time. From pages 66, 67, we'll go through that. I have tools to be free of fear at any time. And I don't have to make bad decisions anymore and take actions and have shame and guilt. And I also learned that in relationships, how I need to look at them and how I need to act in them. And so I use that every day. Steps one through three don't really give you any tools. They tell you you need tools. They also tell me that they can't be my toolkit. I'm not going to have my toolkit and plug that into God and have him help me. I need his toolkit or AA's plan, not mine. But the steps one through three, as I mentioned the other night, I lived in a world of self-centeredness. Anybody else do that? I made decisions based on self that caused me to be harmed. I was self-will run riot, and I was an extreme example, by the way. My wife pointed that out to me the other day, and that was a joke. And but the process of leaving that world where I lived was based upon my step one decision, my completely surrendered by the disease. So I didn't want to live like that anymore. I had that moment of complete defeat. I don't want to forget it. It's coming up soon, I think. February. And then I believed from people I met right away in AA that there was hope for me, that there was a way out. And then I made a decision that I didn't want to live like that anymore. And that enabled me to want to leave that world. Now, for an alcoholic to want to leave their self-centered world is a big deal, because we didn't even know we were in it. And it took me a few weeks to understand what was going on, what people were talking about. And you know, the first month or two, it takes a while for your brain to clear. And then steps 4 through 9 is how we get out of that world, and we're building an arch to freedom through which we're going to pass. And remember, in step 3 in that handout, they showed us that the foundation of the arch is complete willingness. How much willingness do you need? Complete willingness, because you don't want your foundation to be weak. And then the cornerstone of this foundation through the arch through which I'm going to pass through freedom from the bondage of self is the belief that there is a power that can restore me to sanity. And then the keystone of that arch that holds everything in place is the idea that I'm not going to play God anymore, that God's going to be my director, and I'm going to be his agent. He's going to be the father, and I'm going to be his child, and I work for God. Now, the keystone is important, but you won't have a keystone and an arch if you don't have other blocks. And the other blocks you put in are steps 4 through 9. And then it says, we read these 9-step promises. Have you ever heard them read at meeting? But they're really the promises. When you walk through the arch, they're really, I believe, the world of the spirit promises. The problem with the world of the spirit promises is that they only work if you're in the world of the spirit. So I could be in the world of the spirit at 9 o'clock, and at 10 o'clock you'd be back in my world. And so step 10 is how I enter that world, and how do I stay there? How do I stay with God so I have him to help me see when I'm leaving him and get back to him? And step 11 is how I improve this relationship with God, this contact, so that I can carry out his will and have the power to do that. So that's kind of an overview of what we're trying to do here. So it said, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. He says, the big book says that step 3 has no permanent effect unless we follow it at once by removing the things that block us from God. And what they say is that after we read the 3rd step prayer, anybody like the 3rd step prayer? Anybody say it? I love it. But it says after the prayer, it's a warning. It's the way they write, the style of writing. It says, we thought well before taking this step, making sure I'm ready, that I could at last abandon myself utterly to him. And that's a warning, and I have to do that every day. And then I may have to do it at 9 o'clock and then again at noon. I may have to do it at noon and noon 05. Now, I'm not working anymore, so I don't have to do it as often. But when I was at work, I felt like a ping pong ball some days. You know, just one crisis after another, one thing after another. And I remember I had the corner in the office where I would hold the corner, that little trim, when things were going to crap, and I just hold that for a few seconds so I could get centered with God. And then I noticed that the nurses started holding it. And then one day I was holding it, and it was a pretty good day. And they said, well, why are you holding it, doctor? I said, oh, I'm okay, I'm just holding the thing. But it was the idea that I have to seek God when I'm disturbed. I have to find him, and he gets me undisturbed. And so, it says, next we launched on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us have never attempted. So we're going to clean our houses. So where is the house that you're cleaning? It's our mind. It's like your mind is a garage full of crap. And if we want God to direct it, I have to clean out that garage. And I don't have to do it perfectly, but I have to clean out enough of it so that God can start to work. It says that step three decision is vital and crucial step. Vital means vitae, necessary for life. But here's how they write. It could have little permanent effect. You hear people, I took it back, I turned it over, took it back, all that stuff, you hear that? Well, it's not going to have any effect, our decision, unless once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which have been blocking us. Now, they're talking about your initial experience in working the steps. But I think I need to do a strenuous effort each day. Because it says on page 84, what do we watch for? Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. We're in the world of spirit. When these crop up, just when they start to crop up, we ask God wants to do what? Remove it. We don't want to stay disturbed. And so you, any time between next and at once, you can do your fourth step. And what are we trying to face and be rid of? The things in me which have been blocking me from God's power, from God's direction. Now, if I want God's direction, I made a decision He's going to run my life, I have to be able to have that work in my life, and I can't do it if I'm blocked. It says liquor was but a symptom. A symptom of what? The spiritual disease. And the spiritual disease is when I'm self-centered and centered on myself and not God, and then God's blocked out. Anybody do that? I did that a lot. My whole life was that before I came in. I didn't realize it. And so we had to get down the causes and condition. So it says, back to the reading, steps three and four in sequence, because these things have to be done in this order. First, we have to realize that self-will has been blocking us from God's will. Where does it say that a life run on self-will can never be successful? On page 60, right after we read the how it works, it says we have to be convinced that a life run on self-will can never be successful. Are you convinced of that? I'm convinced of that. And so I have to make a decision to turn my will over to the care of God, replacing that self-will with God's will. And in order to do that, we have to identify the manifestations of self-will so we can start to eliminate them. And the way we do inventory in AA is we look at the outside world. We look at the things that are bothering us. And then we look at them and we work our ways back to what's the real problem. Because we can see what's out there, but we can't always tell what is in here that's made out there unmanageable. And the things that are out there are not unmanageable. They're just there. But I've made them unmanageable in my mind. Good job, Michael, right? Good job. Way to go. Step four is simply looking at those manifestations in self-will and identifying them, so that later on in step five, we can talk them over with another person and learn more about them. And actually, the way I do it with people is to do step four and five together. We write out the resentments, the first three columns, then we look at them, we say the prayers, then we look at column four, what was my mistake, then we do fear, and we do second step proposition. And why do I have fear? Self-reliance, the fear of prayer. We've learned the freedom from anger and the prayers for that. And then we inventory our relationships, especially those involving the opposite sex. And then when we do that, we find out the nature of our wrongs. And then we don't want to practice them anymore. So step six is where I'm humbly willing. It says step six is where I'm willing to let go of all my character defects. Patty didn't make any more cards, but we have the card. Anybody have a card? And we have a card, and I don't know if Clay or Josh has seen this, but we have this. I got this from Joe and Charlie, and Scott made them. The left-hand side is my personality run on self-will. And when I'm and when my tree's planted in my soil, remember selfishness, self-centered, it's the root of my trouble. So when the root of my tree is planted in me, then the tree's full of selfishness, dishonesty, fear, inconsiderate, pride, greed, lust, anger, envy. All these character defects are triggered. Impatient, any impatient people out there? Intolerant, resentful. And then what I need to do all day long is I don't want the tree planted in that soil and I don't want this personality. So I have to say, oh, Michael, got to replant your tree, put it in God's soil. God, change the way I'm seeing things and give me your personality. And that's all we're really doing in 6 and 7. And we learn to do that from 4 and 5. And then we do it every day in step 10. It's not very complicated. So it's not complicated, but it takes practice to do it so that you do it better each day so that you feel better and you act better. So you see, these steps are actions that we will carry out the decision that we made in step 3. We're not studying in step 4 to get smart. We're trying to learn everything we were wrong about. The result, and you don't get a grade on it. The results of step 3 will not be based on the decision itself. This isn't squiggly writing, but on the actions we take as a result of that decision. So the results of my life in AA and working the steps is a direct result of the actions I take. Now, you can be sober 10 years and you stop working the steps and you stop praying and meditating and you stop going to meetings and then I don't know what happens, but I would get very squiggly. I get squirrely anyway. And so I don't want to do that. But what's your defense then if you have no relationship with God against the first drink? And then how is your emotional sobriety? So we want to continue to do the actions. And it says, step 3 is a vital and crucial step, and I just read that. We want to face it, be rid of the things that are blocking me from God. And who blocks me from God? I do. It's not them. I always thought it was them. Anybody have a list of them when you come in? I used to call it an execution list, but you know. But we have them when we came in, and they're really not the problem. I was the problem. And the way I react, and a lot of the things that they did that I didn't like, they did as a result of things I did. He says, I believe step 4 is a simple step if we follow the illustrated plan on pages 64 and 65 in the book. The instructions are condensed and sometimes difficult for a reader to understand and follow. I think you need to do it with someone. To me, at least, I had to have Joe and Charlie explain it to me and then piss Brian off, so there you go. Love you, Brian. He'll be back. I always say that for those listening when somebody has to leave early. But it's very simple. Does anybody agree that the 4-7 the Big Book really is very simple? And I've done it a million times and it's on the site. I've covered it 4 or 5 times since we started the site in 17. Now, it's clever. They start this comparison of what they're trying to get across by this example that they use about a business inventory to illustrate the process of the personal inventory, and that's on page 64. And he asks to consider ourselves the most important business on earth. Does anybody think they're the most important business on earth? Well, it is. It's important that my business be run successfully. I don't want to have a losing business anymore. Did anybody have a lot of shame and guilt when they came in and do a lot of things that they regret? Well, it wasn't because you were a bad person. You had the wrong manager. And when you managed, it triggered all these character defects, and your business went broke. The problem in AA is that alcoholics can have really broke businesses before they give up, and some never do. I think it's a gift from God, that moment of grace when I could see the truth about my situation. And then once you get that grace, what are you going to do with it? And then God will put people in your life to help you if you let them. So he wants us to apply the inventory principles that a smart business person would apply to his or her business. A business that doesn't know what it had to sell or what it needed wouldn't be able to meet the needs of its customers. Anybody agree with that? The business person would have a lot of stuff he couldn't sell, taking up shelf space, and he'd have a lot of money he was paying interest on that wasn't doing him any good. He would soon go broke. And I wrote, I've held on to the stuff that was killing me. And that's why I want to write it down and be able to see it so I'm not holding on. So it says in the big book, one object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods to get rid of them promptly and without regret. So once I can see what resentment and fear and harmful actions is doing to me, I don't want to do that anymore. And it says, if the owner of the business in the big book is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. So he asks us to write a written inventory. Now about the business inventory, it's Christmas season. Has anybody noted? Anybody shop on Amazon? All right, Amazon's very smart. If you click on something that you want, they'll show you these four things right away. And they're ad-sponsored. It's very small print. Because they know that's what people like. And they've had good reviews, so they put that on top. Anybody like Target? Target's good, or Walmart. It's a successful store. So it's Christmas season. So Target's not going to have on the shelves all the stuff that they had from last Christmas that they didn't sell, right? They're not going to buy more of that. They're going to stock the shelves with the stuff that they sold last year. And then they keep track of everything on a computer. Did you notice that when you check out? So they know what they've sold. They know what people want. So if you stock the shelves with the stuff that nobody wants, you're not going to stay in business. And we did the same thing. So we're looking in our mind at the things that we're holding on to, the way we see things that are killing us. And it says here we do exactly the same thing with my life. I'm going to look at my life and I have to take stock honestly. And it says, first, we searched out the flaws in my makeup, not theirs, which caused my failure. Being convinced itself, here it is again, manifested in various ways. So we're going to look at the ways self is manifested was what had defeated us. We consider its common manifestations. Now remember in step three in this book, he shows us what makes up self-will, remember? There are three instincts of life, and Bill W. talks about that, the 12 and 12. The social instinct, the material instinct, and the sex instinct. And they're all good and God-given. And we went through that. And they're instincts that we need. But we have self at the center of our lives instead of God. So we decide how to satisfy our instincts. Remember that? And when we do that, what's the manifestation of a life run on what I want, getting what I want to fill my instincts? There are three arrows, right? Resentment, which is wrong judgment, fear, which is wrong belief, and wrong actions where we harm people. So we're going to look in step four at what a life run on self-will looks like. So we can see it and we can change the way we react. And let go of the things that are killing us. And then we're going to use all this information for steps 6 and 7. So it says, Bill asks us to make a written inventory. I think it's important to write it down, because once it's on paper, you can't take it back. Now, the written list is necessary because our life is a complex thing, he says. There are a lot of parts to look at. If we don't write things down as we go through, we won't be able to retain the information we need in the way we need to see it. I want to stress an inventory is a written list of items. There's no such thing as a mental inventory. Now, a lot of people want to do mental inventory in AA, step four, because we're really smart, right? And we can think it through. But if I do a mental inventory, then I'm going to rationalize, justify, and modify. You see how easy that is? But when you put it down on paper and show it to another human being, he may look at it and see it differently. I love doing four steps with people because I love seeing what they've written and then see how maybe what they see wasn't really what was true. And then I see it for myself. Because like Brian says, whenever you do a four step with somebody, you're doing your own. Because because you think of the same things that you did, and things come up, and then you get better at identifying them. It says the business inventory and personal inventory, fact-finding, and then in the business becomes searching, and the personal fact-facing becomes fearless, and truthful becomes moral. You know, a lot of people don't like the moral inventory. They don't know, but it's just truthful. What's the truth? And he says, this step uses the word searching, fearless, and moral to describe our personal inventory. When he says searching, he means the same thing as fact-finding and fearless, fact-facing, and moral true. So we're going to make a fact, we're going to find the facts, face the facts, and be truthful about my personality, my stock and trade, my thinking. I'm going to see the truth about my resentment and my fears and my relationships and my actions. And once you see the truth, doesn't it say somewhere the truth will set you free? So people think the four steps some horrible thing. To me, it was great. It set me free. And I don't have to be in bondage to that anymore. And I can do that today. I feel really good when I'm working step 10 and 11 and 6 and 7. I can change my mind. I can see things differently. I really love it when I can stop and not say anything and realize that I don't want to say that. Anybody ever had that happen? Yeah. And you know what? Your relationships get better. The less you say, the better your relationships. At least I've learned that. Don't quote me on that. They'll report me to New York. So I'm the stock and trade. Now, when we come in, if you've been to a lot of meetings where they're new people, they always start with their resentments and this horrible person and the ex-wife and blah, blah, blah. But that's not helpful. What we want to do is look at ourselves. And if he says, if we look at ourselves as we would a business, we will see, I think, that we have to trade in to deal in every day is our thoughts. Remember, where does the disease of alcoholism center? In the mind. And remember, it says we have a desire to stop thinking. Isn't that what it says in the preamble? No? That was a joke. Nobody laughed. We don't want to think when we're separated from God because our thinking's not right. We're seeing the world wrong. Chuck C. in A New Pair of Glasses, which is very famous, there's a book you can get on Amazon. It's great. You can listen to his talks on XA speakers. A lot of people have listened to Chuck C. Just a brilliant man, brilliant. And he talks about what he really got in AA was a new pair of glasses, a new way of seeing things. And all he had to do was take off the old glasses when he and put on the new glasses. And the same stuff was out there, but he saw it differently. He said so many brilliant things, but the one thing he said was that they asked him, how does he pray? It's a good question. He was very religious, knew the scripture. He says, every thought's a prayer. Think about it. So what we're thinking, like if we're having a judgment about somebody, that's a prayer. It's not a good one, but it's a prayer. And I like that. And he also said that we only have one problem, all of us, conscious separation from God. And one solution, conscious contact. Now, what does that mean? It means that I, in my own mind, put myself in Michael's world my whole life so I would get approval and feel good enough, right? Anybody else do that? And get what I thought I needed, the delusion that if I managed well, I'd be happy. And I separated. And then when I'm in God's world, the world of spirit, that's where my true peace is. That's where I know peace and joy. And so how do we go from conscious separation to conscious contact? In the beginning is with the steps, especially steps 4 through 9. In the beginning is the decision, step 3. And then how do I stay there? Step 10 and 11, work with others. So he says, as a man thinketh, so he is. Remember, all actions born in thought. And so how do I react to something that I think will determine my actions? And anybody do that and say, wow, I wish I'd paused? You see, and now we don't have to do that anymore because we don't have to be in bondage to that. That is, we are the sum total of the thoughts that go through our minds each day. So we want to inventory those thoughts and evaluate them so we can get rid of the unsaleable goods, the thoughts that are making our lives unmanageable, and replace them with the stock and trade that will give us better return. So I'm going to stop there. So we take our thoughts to God to see things differently. We change our thinking. We change our reaction. So I'm going to end with that. I hope it was helpful.